WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a man. What the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
And the champ stays on top. This is the Raw Post Show live. Early. On the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live right here at twitch.tv/DemetriLive. Chat. You have Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. Called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, you can use character rocks like a Lin Zem Award for an item shop when you buy Shaq. Things from Saul. X-Men. And beyond, because hashtag epic fire. It's the Raw Post Show, presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm the producer, that's Lindsay Ward.
Man, this is a throwback. This is weird. I don't know what years. I'm going to do with myself.
It's been 12 years since Monday Night Raw has been 2 hours. I think the first post shows we did were 2 hour Raws. Yeah.
Yes. And then it went to 3.
And then here we are.
And here we are.
But they were 9 to 11, so it was okay. 8 to 10 is weird.
Yeah, this is strange. This feels very, very strange. I'm not against it. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a negative thing, but this is just strange in all the weird ways.
We'll get into the pros and cons in a moment, but Sheamus and Peter Dune had a good old-fashioned Donnybrook.
They beat the shit out of each other.
Joe Tessitore was amazing on the call, especially in the last few minutes, going crazy for the big dive, the big table spot, and who pulls the zip ties out of a drawer, and he just, the cricket bat, he was on fire on the call. He's really rounding into his own as the Raw announcer.
He was a really good pickup for them in terms of like getting somebody to replace Michael Cole, because he works well with Barrett.
Yeah.
Like, they have a good little dynamic, and he's picking it up a lot faster than some of his predecessors have.
Indeed. And Sheamus would end up getting the win in the good old fashioned Donnybrook, and gave Peter Dune some respect on Twitter. He's no longer Butch. He's Peter Dunn.
He earned his name back.
He did earn his name back. It was a 10-woman tag, Sonya, Shayna, Zoe, Alba Fire, and Isla Dawn, taking on Natalya, Lyra, Kaden, Katana, Zelina. 10-woman tag, Natty and crew get the win. What was your thoughts on this match?
There were a lot of people in this match.
Oh, wait,
like,
hold on.
Hold on.
Oh, I got to interrupt you for 1 second.
We
got breaking news.
Thursday nights, you need to experience The Rack. From wrestling news, discussions, and interviews with wrestling's biggest superstars, like Kane, Seth Rollins, Edge, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on RackRadioShow.com.
Commercial. We had to throw in a commercial. Because that's this show.
Oh.
All the commercials.
I was going to say, that's an old commercial.
That was an old one. I didn't think I'd grab that one. I thought I'd grab a different one. But hey, that one worked too. Yeah. Ads were all over the show. Lots of ads. The biggest complaint. But anyway, go talk about this match.
Well, I'd rather talk about the ads because the ads are more memorable than the match. The match was fine. Like, it was completely fine. They all worked well together.
This show is full of picture in picture, and we were talking about this just a minute ago before we got on air. It felt like 3 hours of ads chopped out into a 2-hour show because they oversold ads for the year and have to finish them all out.
So, having worked in the industry, I know a bit about this. I don't think they oversold the ads, but what they likely did was there are two things that could have happened. They sold the ads for the year, or they sold the ads at least for till Raw is off USA, which could very well be October, right? And so they sold the ads through October. And typically what you do for ad sales is, you know, you sell them for three hours, right? And you try to sell them for the year, especially when you're doing like commercial spots or anything else. You want to sell the year because that's what gets you the most money. You can sell month to month. You can sell in like 3 months, 6 months, you know, whatever increments. But salespeople typically go for a year of sponsorship because that's where you get the most money. So it's like when they were selling for Raw, whenever they were doing their renewals on it, it was probably we're going to sell for the year or we're going to sell for till Raw is off of USA because the deal was announced earlier this year. So that's that. Now, it could be that they're honoring their commitments to their advertisers and they're saying, hey, you know, yeah, we told you Raw was going to be gone in October, but hey, we worked out an emergency deal with them. And so we're going to be able to honor our commitment to you. And they have the 3 hours worth of ads that they have to then honor and do, or they have to either give the money back or they have to do like make goods or something like that in order to make up for the fact that like the advertisers missed out. The other option is that they sold a whole bunch of spots for the first like 2 hour Raw on USA. Like, they just went ahead and they're like, hey, we either need to fill spots or somebody just went out and sold a whole bunch of ads. And they had a whole bunch of ads for tonight. I don't think that's the case. I think, like Rock said, I think they had 3 hours worth of ads that they were trying to fit in a 2 hour spot because they had to honor commitments that had already been previously made at some point in the year. And they weren't willing to let go of the money to make up for it, basically. Which we'll see what they do next week and we'll see what they do going forward. Like, I hope they find a way to balance the advertising because it was a little heavy. Like, it was a lot of picture in picture and it was very distracting. And I think they're trying to figure it out as much as everybody else is, right? Because nobody really knew what this was going to be. Nobody really knew how this was going to go, how this was going to flow. This was the first one. So it's WWE has to get all their shit in. They have to make sure that their talent is spotlighted, but USA needs to get their ads in. They need to make sure that, you know, their larger advertisers take top priority, all that other stuff. So I think they're figuring this out. And this was the litmus test to see how it goes. But if this is what it's going to be going forward, that's going to be a lot.
Because
like that's just because of what it is. But it's also advertisers could drop off at the end of this month. That's the other side of it. Like, it depends on what the commitments are, and I don't know what their advertising commitments are, but it could be that they sold up until October, right? That's the third scenario, is that they sold a whole bunch of stuff for October because Raw was 3 hours last week. So it's, well, we have a commitment till the end of October, and then it drops off or something like that. I don't know, but yeah, it was a lot.
There's a lot of talk on the internet. It's like, whether people really like the two-hour format, and the two-hour format can work. They just got to cut down on the ads to really sell it. And it's also very clear they have a 3-hour show full of, with 3 hours worth of talent in a 2-hour show is going to take some time to get used to. And we're going to have to see a mixture of talent in and out going forward, which we'll talk about one talent who won't be on the show for a little bit here in a little while. But we have some backstage stuff to get into. Karrion Kross was talking with The Miz, and the Wyatt Six seemed to be taking a little spotlight on The Miz. He said to Karrion he didn't do it for him. For Karrion, he did it for himself, what he did to R-Truth. He said he's been texting Miz. Miz said he was confused. He's not in judging Day anymore. Truth said he forgave Miz, who told him that awesome Truth is done. Truth took issue with Miz attacking him on purpose. Said the Truth. Karrion told Truth that he would fix it by going to Adam Pearce. Miz stopped him and, you know, challenged Truth to a match next week on Monday Night Raw. Interesting that the Wyatt Six are looking after the old Miz now. They're going after him because there he is.
Yep. And Karrion Kross doesn't seem like he's done with him. So the White Six are kind of sort of like moving in on Karrion's territory a little bit.
And we all know the history between Miz and Uncle Howdy.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. We also know the history between Miz and Bray Wyatt. And I think this is... Miz was Bray's first feud, wasn't he?
No.
Who was Bray's first feud?
Kane.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. But Miz was the second.
Miz was the second. But the B team...
He was there in the very beginning.
He was there in the beginning, but B team, coming back together. Anyway...
Yeah, we have Bo's history too. Like, there's a lot to work with there. So I'm very curious to see how this all goes. It's also worth noting, it has nothing to do with the show, but it could, that Miz and Maryse bought a new house.
Yeah, they've been trying to get to Las Vegas for a while. Yeah.
But they finally, she was putting pictures out on Twitter. So.
Yeah, they've been trying to get there for a while. We had a video.
Interesting.
We had a video with Rhea Ripley. She's continuing her she's not done with Liv, and she's now gonna get to Raquel as well. We had the Judgment Day arrive before the show. Liv made some comments, I may have lost by DQ, but I'm the only person who can lose and still win at the same time, because she has Dom and Raquel now. And then they left before answering the question whether Raquel is in Judgment Day or not.
This was good. I will say it is a little confusing, because it's like, what's going on there, especially with Raquel? I mean, if they split Liv and Dom out of Judgment Day and you just have them go off and do their own thing, that's not the worst thing in the world.
But I don't think that's going to be a thing. I think Raquel will officially join at some point to round out the group.
I will say I was much happier with her top than I was Saturday, because, dear God, her boobies were squished. Mm-hmm. They look much more comfortable here.
Bianca and Jay cut a video promo saying they'll defend the tag team titles next week on Monday Night Raw.
I'm down. I'm so down. Let's go. We're doing it again. Let's do it.
We had a backstage thing with Adam Pearce talking with General Manager Ava, which saw Ethan Page show up, who once says that CM Punk cost him the NXT Championship when he was a special referee, and he wants to get, some revenge. Can we talk about it? And Punk Pierce was like, I didn't do that. Ava did. And, she wasn't going to deal with it tonight. She was off the clock. Sexy Red showed up. Paige got a little smack talk from Sexy Red, and Paige stormed off. So nice use of putting Ethan Page on the show. Sexy Red was also out to open up the show as well.
Yeah, it was. It was a great use of her. And then they had her behind the announcers at least at one point, if not the whole night.
And she will be on NXT tomorrow night on the CW network. Get to him in a minute, but let's talk about how Monday Night Raw opened up with one CM Punk who walked to the entrance ramp because he's a little bit banged up. He said he's been through enough this weekend. And if they're going to set him on fire, well, this is the time, because I guess the pyro was something was popping off. He said in no condition to walk the ring, and so he's going to... He said it hurt to smile, but he's happy to see the people. He's alive, and yeah, it doesn't feel like it. He said he won, but it doesn't feel like it. He said the match made him feel like... left him with a lot of questions. He didn't know what the future holds. He had no more Hell in a Cells left in him, and he was right. He's more banged up than he's ever been in his life, but he wanted to thank three sets of groups. His fans, his ride or dies. He thanked his peers, and then he talked to, all the haters. He said there's a thin line between love and hate, and he's turned hate into cash, so he thanked them. He said, I don't know why you keep doubting me, but I hope you all keep doing so. He said he's going to go home because he hasn't seen his wife in 5 weeks. He has a lot of flowers to buy. He said he'll see us all soon, but he just didn't know when. As he was about to leave, out walked Seth freaking Rollins. I'm going to pause there for a fact. Go ahead.
In a Shield-like outfit.
It was a Shield-like outfit. I thought the same thing. Good stuff with Punk, though. He knows that he's not going to Saudi, so he's going to take a few weeks off to recover.
The one thing I really liked about this, and it was such a simple thing, and I don't know whether he was actually just in that much pain that he couldn't walk right, or if he was selling, but I really liked the fact that he sold he had been through hell. I really liked that he was having a hard time walking, which sounds horrific to say, but it really emphasized the point that, yes, this was an absolutely brutal, horrific match that both men suffered. Like, Drew wasn't even on the show tonight, but you had Punk there. And it really was a nice, like, ending, like, just a nice period in the story. Like, the ending statement to have Punk stand there, beaten to hell, bandaged up, limping, just banged up, like, all the things, right? And he's talking about the match, and he's just, it just sold the hell out of it.
He did sell the hell out of it.
But this was, yeah, this was, the opening was rapid fire, man. Like, it was just, and you got the pacing of the show right away, because it's like, well, how are they going to do this? And it was just like one right after the other.
You got three
in terms of the pacing.
Yeah, you had big stars come right out. So Seth Rollins came out. He wished Punk to get well soon so he can, you know, retire him. So get nice, speedy recovery. He said things have been crazy. He talked about Dominic hanging from a shark cage and The Rock returning. Hell must have frozen over because Cody teamed with Roman, but then he got punched in the face by Kevin Owens. And we're not supposed to talk about that. It's time to get back on track. And he wants to take care of big Bronson Reed. He said Reed wasn't on that. He said Reed was not on Raw. He said he knew Reed was somewhere watching. He looked right in the camera. You tried to end my career months ago and to make a name for yourself. After six tsunamis, I know your name. If you want to be famous, I'll give you your 15 minutes. Anytime, any place. And then Jey Uso came out. They shared a look. Rollins looked at the belt, so we may be looking at something there. Yeah. Thoughts on Rollins?
This was really good. I enjoyed this. You know, we're teasing potentially the next place for Seth to go with either with Jey or, you know, continue on with Bronson. Again, the Shield like gear I found very, very, very interesting. Like, it's like, are we kind of maybe seeing the outlandish Seth go away? And we're going to see a return to more of the architect style Seth, because I think he said it in a in a interview or something that people don't necessarily want to see what he's doing right now, that they want to see the Shield version or something like that, where it's like they prefer that character or something along those lines. So if he is, because I think he was like, you know, in terms of like the outlandish character with the outfits and everything like that, it's kind of sort of running its course and he needs to do a little bit of a reset on it. And that could be what he's doing here. Like, we see him continue to wear the outfits, but maybe they're not as crazy. Maybe we see him go back to that more serious version of himself. Either when he, I don't think when he was in the Shield, I don't think he'll go all the way back to the architect, but maybe like a tweener between like the architect and what he was doing with the, God, what was the name of Hunter's group that he turned when he turned on everybody, when he turned on the Shield and he joined Hunter's group? What was the name of it? Fuck. Anyway, that Shield, that Seth, when he turned on the Shield and broke everybody's hearts, the chair shot heard around the world. But I think we might be going there, especially since he's entering a more serious feud with Bronson and it doesn't really call for the outlandishness. But this was good. I enjoyed this a lot. And like I said, this was The Authority. Thank you. The Authority. I was like, what is the name of it? Because I can picture, okay, this is stupid. I can picture the logo in my head. I can picture it. I can see it. But it's like, what was the name of the group? Thank you. The Authority. So it could be Authority Seth. It could be like a combination therein. But yeah, this, I like this. I thought this was really good. Like I said, this was rapid fire. Like, you had Punk come out. Then you had Seth come out, and then you had Jey come out. A lot of tensions running high after Hell in a Cell, and people got a lot to say, don't they? Apparently not. He said he was back.
And then I sneezed. So, it's great timing. I don't know if it's... one thing I heard you say was something about the outlandish Seth being done. I don't think so. I think this was outlandish, but serious outlandish. I think next week he'll be a more colorful Seth Rollins. That's just me.
He could be. He could be. We'll see.
Jey Uso took on Xavier Woods. Good match. You can tell this is the first part of the show where he's like, last week this would have got 12. This got 6.
Yeah.
And they rushed through everything, which is the old way of doing matches on Raw, where they were quicker. And we're going to have to get used to that. That's fine. Quicker matches is fine. And two big matches and everything else gets 6 to 7 minutes. That's fine by me. I have no problem with that. Jey Uso would retain. There was supposed to be a little bit of, you know, sign of respect, but Woods blew off the handshake. Kofi was like, what are you doing? We got, you know, what are you doing? You should have shook his hand. And he's like, what am I supposed to shake his hand for? And then they cut away, and then it's big-ass spear from Braun Breaker to Jey Uso. Kofi wanted help, but it's like, we don't have to help. And then Kofi goes and helps. He gets eaten by the super spear. Woods is checking on Kofi. He gets the super spear. And then another one for Jey Uso as Braun Breaker stood tall.
He was indiscriminate in this. He just took out everybody. He's like, you get a spear, and you get a spear, and you get a spear.
Pretty much.
So this was fine. This was good. We were seeing the continuation of heel Xavier and sort of the tension there. Like, Kofi and Xavier were a little bit more on the page tonight, but they could rapidly jump off the page as things progress.
Indeed. Cody Rhodes was backstage. He was being interviewed by Kathy Kelly and didn't talk about what happened at Bad Blood, but we'll talk about it on SmackDown. But he's just here to find out who will be the first Crown Jewel champion, what it takes to be the first Crown Jewel champion. He crossed paths with Sami Zayn, who told him he'll be the one he'll face him at Crown Jewel. Zayn, if you want to talk about what happened with Kevin, Cody's like, we don't have to talk about it right now. He hopes he faces Sami at Crown Jewel and wished him luck. They shook hands. We had our main event. It was for the World's Heavyweight Championship, Gunther, Sami Zayn. Hell of a fight, but Sami Zayn fades away. Gunther retains.
I don't think anybody's shocked by this. Like, they're not going to change the title here, especially with the announcement for Crown Jewel. Like, it's going to be Gunther versus Cody. That's your money match. That's what everybody wants to see. No offense to Sami. Sami and Cody would be fine, but everybody wants Gunther versus Cody, so that's what we're getting. But yeah, the match was great. It was absolutely fantastic. We'll see if Sami sort of like what he does next or where they move him on to next.
And then we have
Gunther wins that big belt. I don't know, man.
No, it's Cody's. Come on now. Babyface wins the big belt. Cody and Gunther had a stare down the end roll.
Yeah. Which, well, I mean, they glanced at each other from what we saw because that was a hard cut off at 10.
They got like to 10 o'clock and 45 seconds.
And they're like, nope, you're done. Like, again, Gunther runs long. I think that's my only complaint about Gunther is he runs a little long. So they need to sort of work, at least for the next 2 months, if they're going to have him close the show, they need to work on like making sure he's wrapped up and done a little bit quicker. That's like my only critique on it, because this is like the third or fourth time that I can recall recently that he's taken it right up until the cut, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's like, if you're trying to get that moment or that shot, you need it just to be a little bit quicker.
Yeah, and in 3 months, we don't have to worry about that.
Very true.
If they fix the picture-in-picture, this format can work. You're going to have to rotate people in. That's why CM Punk's gone for a little bit when he doesn't go to Saudi. And you're going to see people do quick vignettes instead of having big, long matches on Raw. And that's fine. They just have to work out the kinks. This was the first show in a while that they've had to do 2 hours for this a large roster, because on SmackDown you have a limited number of people, so you're able to get a majority of people, and they even still have hard time getting like Shinsuke and AJ consistently on the show. So getting consistent people on the show again is going to take some time, and you're going to have Drew out for a while selling injuries and Punk out for a while selling injuries, so it's going to take a minute, but they'll figure it out. Just fix the picture in picture. At least I'll give you this positive. They're not screaming, we'll see the rest of the action in picture. Stay with us in picture. We're back. Like they do on another show on Wednesday nights.
This is very, very, very true. I think what they'll do is they'll probably look at the amount of commercials that they have, and they'll figure it out from there. Like I said, this was probably, they have so many commitments to honor and they have to get it all in, and then they'll probably tweak from there.
And we may get entrance, if we get entrances with picture in picture, I think that will be a little bit
better. That would be fine. Like, put the commercials on the entrances and it'll be okay. But I have a really funny feeling that what happened was they sold up until like October, the month of October, and then the deal for Raw to remain on USA to the end of the year happened, and they likely re-up some stuff. But I would suspect that starting in November that perhaps the ads drop a little bit. But it could be that they're like, oh, well, we'll honor your agreement till the end of the month since we sold you through like October, and then we'll go from there. That's what I would guess happened. And it's, well, we have 3 hours of commercials that we have to honor. And it's like, fuck.
We shall see.
We shall see.
right. That's Raw. That's the post show. We're done. We're out of here. We'll be back live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of Rack. We'll review Bad Blood.
We will. We will talk all about what happened on the show, who won, who lost, and if there's any bad blood left. I don't think so. There was quite a lot of blood on that show, but we'll talk about it Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Rack.
PM Battles live Friday night, right after SmackDown. Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, it's CB Radio Live. Sunday night, it's CB Radio Not So Live. Live at 10 p.m. Eastern, reviewing AEW's Wrestle Dream.
Oh, no.
We'll be back next Monday night, Raw Potion.
Oh, no.
At 10 p.m. Eastern. Yep.
I know what that means.
Yes, you know exactly what that means. So we're watching it Saturday, reviewing it on Sunday. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 10 p.m. Eastern at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store when you buy X-Men, Shaq, Halloween people and more, and oh, also Skulltrooper.
Skulltrooper's in the shop.
Skulltrooper is in the shop. Go buy Skulltrooper because we are
#Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social media at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimmaLin's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero.
This has been the Raw Potion, presented as always by MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the back here for the Raw Potion. Every Monday night, now at 10, for now, Eastern, along the airway, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.